This is the Woodland Hills Family Church podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now enjoy today's message with Ted Cunningham.
Today we start a brand new series called Follow Me. And today we're going to look at the life and the story of Mary Magdalene. Next week we're going to look at Simon and Andrew. The week after that, Matthew. And then we're going to look at the sons of thunder. And we're going to look at their stories, and we're going to take lessons for our own. For those of you that follow Jesus, I know there are some who have said, I don't think I have much to offer the kingdom. I don't think my story is all that significant. I don't think anybody's going to want to listen to what I have to say. And if you grew up in church, you've been in church for a while, you've been to services where there were testimonies given. And I for years struggled with this. Didn't think I really had a lot to share because I grew up in a Christian home. You know, I never got into heavy drugs. And I always love how people add the word heavy into that. You know, just light drugs on the weekend, but never heavy. I never did really heavy drugs. But we'd have speakers come in and give these testimonies. And I mean, it was just like, wow. And I just didn't have that spectacular of a story. And you might think I don't have anything important to say, and I just want you to know today, the fact is God wants to use each one of us to share the good news of Jesus. And I hope, as we talked last week about praying bold prayers to end the Easter message, that you will be bold in sharing your story and how Christ has changed you. As I think about Mary Magdalene, I keep going back to Luke 7:47. It's an easy passage to look up, just think 7:47. Those who are forgiven much, love much. And that is the story that we're going to see today, to one who has been forgiven and knows all that they have been forgiven of. There is a loyal love that takes place. And so what we want you to know throughout this whole series is you have a story. And everyone in here has a story. And the great thing about having a story is no one can deny your story. It happened to you. And what we want you to see as we look at these characters throughout the New Testament and those who follow Jesus, we want you to know your story matters. You need to be bold in sharing it. You need more confidence in it. I've asked people over the years because I know this is that we're talking about something that can be very intimate and detailed that you don't feel comfortable sharing. And I'm going to just give you five quick reasons I feel I've heard from people over the years of why they don't share their story. Number one, it's too fresh. And they feel they need to prove something before they share something. And they're like, I just got to give this some time. No, if Jesus has saved you from whatever your past is, you have a story to tell. You're not under judgment or condemnation here, and you don't have to wait till you've given so many years to the faith before you start telling people about what Jesus did for you. I know there are many, number two, that hold back. They feel shame, regret, they're embarrassed from their past, and they hold back in sharing. Some feel they don't speak well. They're like, I've tried telling stories, said I'm just not a storyteller. And I get that. I mean, I sometimes am intimidated. I know a lot of my friends right now, and they're preaching or going to manuscript preaching where they write out every single word of their message and then preach it. You've probably figured out I don't do that. Because things will pop in my brain and I'll be like, boom, there it is. And then Amy says, you might want to write some of that stuff down and edit it a little before. So if you've been around this church, you know I stumble over my words. You don't. Let me just say, I think, just ignore this guy right here. When you're sharing your story, if someone on the other end of your story sees you struggling, let me tell you what they're going to do. They're going to lean in. They're going to appreciate the effort. Some of you think your story's boring. Like, I can't imagine. And what we're going to see today in the life of Mary Magdalene, we don't have a lot of details from her past. But what we do know is she loved Jesus. She followed Jesus. She was at the crucifixion. She was at the resurrection. And bottom line is this, Jesus is the most important part of her story. And Jesus is the most important part of your story, so your story can't be boring. Your story is full of life. And then some of you don't feel equipped. You don't feel like you have the words to say. And maybe you've been in this situation. You fear rejection. You hold back in sharing in case there's follow-up questions from the other side. Well, what does that mean? You know what it's okay to say, follower of Jesus? I don't know, but let me get back to you. I don't know, but I'm going to get you an answer to that. Amy and I, after 27 years of marriage, are still sharing our stories with one another. My wife has a story very different than mine, but she came to know the Lord after high school and went through a lot of difficult times in high school and season. She said something this week that I jumped on because I was like, I've never heard you say it like that. But she realizes she wasn't, you know, following things according to the school's plan and wasn't walking with the Lord, but she kept trying to take steps to do the right thing, and she remembers going into her high school counselor and asking about college, and the high school counselor just immediately said, oh, you're not going to college. Isn't that something? The weight of our words. And you know what she said, and I wrote it down because it's hit me all week. She said, I just wanted someone to give me the benefit of the doubt. And I know some of you, you walk around with that and you hold back. I can tell you, my wife would tell you, that she's held back on sharing her story over the years of how God sent a man, a pastor, into a jail cell. That's where my wife was saved, in jail. And you're like, tell me more. She tells her story. She's very open about her story, but she doesn't share it a whole bunch. And I know some of these fears, and she's got a story to tell, but she got a DUI out of high school. And the judge said $10,000 or a month in jail. And her parents said, we'll see you in a month. And I'm grateful because an Assembly of God preacher walked in and Amy ignored him, tried to ignore him for an hour. And that night knelt down and asked Christ to be her Savior. And I'm telling you, I don't have that story. Her story is different than mine. Your story is different than mine, but what I know is your story matters. Your story matters. And I want you to never forget this. Your story is not over. Chapters still to be written. So please hear me. God wants to use your story to help others. So I hope you begin sharing boldly after today and we see the life of Mary Magdalene. God wants to use your story to share the good news of Jesus with a lost and dying world. When Jesus walked the earth, women were treated as second-class citizens. Jesus changed all of that. Jesus esteemed women as highly valuable. And we're going to see that today as Mary Magdalene follows Jesus, cares for Jesus, and how Jesus completely changed her story. We have to, when we do a study like this of a character, we have to be very careful because, you know, it's the two biggest mistakes we make when reading the Bible. We can read too much or not read enough. And in the case of Mary Magdalene, many have read maybe a little too much. And what we're going to stick with today is the Scripture. At Woodland Hills Family Church, Scripture drives the bus. Tradition is in the passenger seat. And part of Western Christian thought or Western Christian tradition is that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. Scripture never says that. We don't have that declared in the Bible. But we do know some things about her before she came to Christ, just not much. And as we dig into this, you'll see more. Mary is only mentioned by name in the New Testament 12 times. And I think this is an important detail for us to understand. She's mentioned 12 times, and 11 of those 12 mentions are the accounts of her witnessing the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, the most important part of the story. John Bloom, a writer with Desiring God, says it this way: the truth is that we have no historical reason to believe anything about Mary Magdalene besides the very limited yet very significant amount the Scripture says about her. And we're going to look at it today as we dig in. First of all, we know that Mary is from Magdala. That's in that day what they would do is attach where you were from or who your father was, right, to it. So we got Jesus of Nazareth. You got the son of Joseph, the son of Zebedee. So Mary is from Magdala, a fishing town off the coast of Galilee. Most scholars do believe that it did have a reputation for prostitution. And you go all the way back to the 6th century when Pope Gregory gave a homily declaring her to be the woman of ill repute, right? So that got carried on. Sculptors, painters started taking off with this. But again, we're sticking with what the scripture says about her. And so we know she's from Magdala. We know that about her. And just like today, it still happens today. You tell someone where you're from, we're always doing this. We're trying to relate to people's story. We're always trying to put ourselves into someone's story. So they tell you where they're from, and if they're not from there, they tell you about the time they were last there or passing through there. Or you tell them when your birthday is. This is still one of my favorites. You know, you go, I was born on January 29th. You're kidding! My birthday's in March. Have you had anybody ever do that to you? You know why people do that? Because they're wanting to connect with you. So we know that. And here's what I really want you to know. Your upbringing, your family of origin, and where you're from is part of your story. But I want you to see today, it is not the most important part of your story. It's woven into the fabric of your life, but it's not the most important part. And your past is part of your story. What you did in your high school years. Like, Ted, don't bring that up. What you did in college, it's part of your story, but it's not the most important part of your story. We don't choose when or where we're born. We don't choose who we're born to. We don't choose our family. And some of you are like, I needed to hear that today. You didn't choose the school you attended. You didn't choose the church you attended. You didn't choose the denomination you were brought up in. It's all chosen for you, and it's part of your story, but it's not the most important part. So what do we know about Mary Magdalene? Well, she's from Magdala, and we also, in this very short account of her life, we know she was delivered from 7 demons, and she loved Jesus, followed Jesus, and supported the ministry of Jesus. So let's look at this before we get to the empty tomb. After this, Jesus traveled from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Some say this could have been from prostitution. We just don't know because the scripture doesn't say. It could have been from a trauma or abuse. We don't know, and it's a detail we don't have to know. But we do know this. She had a very, very difficult past. 7 demons were cast out. It goes on to say, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. And watch this. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. She's delivered from 7 demons. She follows Jesus, and she is supporting the ministry of Jesus and his followers. So we know that. She was grateful and devoted her life to Jesus. One article I read this week by Jennifer Herron said this, gratitude kept Mary loyal to her Lord and serving him until the end. It was absolutely unheard of in that time for a woman to be a disciple of a rabbi. She followed Jesus, learned from him, served his physical needs, and set a groundbreaking example for other women everywhere, all because of gratitude. If you have your Bibles and want to turn to John chapter 20, we were there last week for Easter, and we didn't get to this part, but we're going to get there today. And before we do, we'll start just making very clear, Mary Magdalene was at the foot of the cross when Jesus died, and this is important to even understand her grief. And when we see her at the empty tomb mourning, weeping, that we understand she had just seen days earlier her Lord, the one she loved, the one who delivered her, the one who saved her, saw him brutally crucified before her very eyes. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. She was there when he was crucified. And Jesus, right, appears to her. And we're going to see this today. We're going to pick up where we started last week. Mary Magdalene was the first to proclaim the empty tomb to Simon Peter and John. And this is important. I want you to keep track before Jesus appears to Mary and Mary has this encounter with him. I just want you to see for a second all of the evidence, all of the proof, everything she sees at this moment. And it starts here at the beginning of John 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So let's start with there. Stone rolled away. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple and the one Jesus loved and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put him. So understand the confusion, and they're not understanding it. They're not getting it. And then you go down a little bit. We'll skip past the part we read last week. But Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene outside the empty tomb. So let's continue to count up the evidence in John 20, verses 10 through 18. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And I just want to stop there for a second because I live on the other side of Taney Como, and I drive by Snap Bearden Cemetery multiple times a day, and I always, and you have to drive by it slow because it's a sharp 90 degree turn, and I always peer into the cemetery, and almost every time I drive by, there's someone there visiting a grave. And I have seen over the last several years some of you, because I was there. I've done many graveside services at Snap Bearden. And then I always pay attention as I drive by a day or two later after a ceremony. And one friend in here I'll never forget, after we buried someone he loved dearly, just sitting there on one of those gravel roads in there with his truck bed down and just sitting there. And the mourning and the grief. I need us to really understand at this moment, added to the Mary not understanding, she's grieving, she's mourning. And Scripture is very clear, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, all humans mourn. It's part of the human condition. But there's only two ways to mourn. You either mourn with hope or without hope. Without hope is how the rest of men mourn, but you and I, we mourn with hope. Why? Because Paul says, because we believe Jesus died and rose again. And that is the gospel, and that is the good news. But she is weeping, she is mourning, and you and I have all experienced deep grief. For some of you, you entered into shock because of a sudden death in a family member or a friend. Others of you, it may have been an illness in a family member or a friend, and so the mourning started even before you lost your loved one. But you were there at the bedside when they went to be with the Lord. She is there now weeping, crying outside, keep in mind, of an empty tomb. So we got this evidence. Stone rolled away, tomb is empty. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels. And we know angels, you know, it means messengers. Angels there. They're bringing a message in white, seated where Jesus' body had been. One at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus. Now, before we get to that, if I saw two angels, I'd be asking some questions. I'd have some things I'd need to get figured out. But so now she's seen a stone rolled away. She sees an empty tomb. There's the cloth, the linens. She sees angels, and now she's going to see Jesus and still not know. Have you ever experienced that type of grief and been to that level of emotion in your mourning? So she says this and then says it. She turns around, she sees Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. Verse 15, he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" This is such an amazing scene to me. It's like, who are you looking for? Thinking he was the gardener. She said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." This is not how this is going to end. And then Jesus said to her, see this, Jesus calls her by name, Mary. I practiced that, I don't know how many different ways that this week. Because you can't just read script, Mary, Mary. You tell me what you think it sounded like, but for me, I just kept coming back to Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. And then Jesus said, "Don't hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." This is important. So we know there was this embrace. And I can only imagine once she knew it was Jesus. Let me ask you, are you going to let go of him? After what you saw on Friday, and after you fearful somebody just now stole his body, somebody took it somewhere, and you want to now go get it and bring it back? Are you going to hold on to it? One scholar I read this week said it would be more like our word pinch. That's how uncomfortable of an embrace it was. And this isn't Jesus stiff-arming Mary. Remember where they're standing. They're standing outside of the tomb. They're outside the empty tomb, and it's almost like, Mary, look, yes, all roads lead. That changes everything, but we're not done. The story is not over. Mary, don't hold on to me. I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, not just mine. We are family. Mary, you're not losing me, but you need to know what's happening. Go tell them, my Father, your Father, my God and your God. Mary Magdalene, it says, went to the disciples with the news. And I think this is a completely different tone. I've never experienced this. You've probably never experienced this emotion. Deep, deep grief immediately ended. Like, what? How does that work? He's alive. He's alive. I don't have to grieve. He's here. Guys, let me tell you, I have seen the Lord. I don't know if you play songs on repeat, but I'm going to give you one. Amy says I do this way too much. And she'll ask me, she'll go, maybe we just listen to this song 3 or 4 more times and then we find a new one on this trip. And I'm like, no. And this is a song, I want to give you some homework for this afternoon for your trip down to Arkansas. As you are going on down to the eclipse, get on iTunes and look up Larnell Harris, Sandy Patty, I've Just Seen Jesus. Let me tell you, there's never been a voice like Larnell Harris, but it's this story we just read. It's everything about this story. And Larnell Harris, it is I am. Who wants to hear the band do this right now? All right. I'm just kidding. We don't have that one prepared. But wouldn't it have been awesome? But Sandy Patty plays Mary Magdalene in the song. Larnell Harris, it is I am here. You will put that song on repeat and you will go to John chapter 20. Where she sees the Lord. And you know, I just kept praying all week, Lord, call people by name. Call people by name. Because I want to go back to what we talked about last week, the skeptic in the room. I hope you came back. I hope you're here. And I just want to say this to you from this story. I want to start with you before I talk to our church family. If you are skeptical and still trying to figure out what faith in Christ is all about, stick around and keep asking questions. You saw a lot of evidence last week, and you're seeing it again today. And I just want to encourage you, stick around. Stick around the empty tomb. And we're going to continue to pray that the Lord calls you by name and calls you out, and that you would know that he shed his blood and died for you, that you would repent of your sins and turn to him and place your faith and life in Christ. When Christ saves you, I need you to know this, he becomes the most important part of your story. And that's why everybody in here has a story, and that your story has power and impact, right? Because if you're a follower of Jesus and he's the main character, you should never again in your mind think you have a boring story, ever again. And we love to label things today. We're doing this all the time. And bios, we all have bios on our social media. Let me tell you, Christ is the most important. Your most important label is Christian. I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm an American, I'm a pastor. Those aren't my most important labels. My most important label is I am a follower of Jesus. And I follow Christ. And I think it's one of the greatest schemes of Satan today. We're supposed to take our stand against the devil's evil schemes. I call it the great silencing of American pulpits, because what's happening today is the world is wanting to label everything we're talking about political. Everything. Marriage, parenting, sex, gender, sexuality, money, immigrate. Just name the issue and it's labeled political. And now what's happened is the church comes along, church people, followers of Jesus come along, and many of you have said it to me, and they tell their pastor, we don't want you talking about political things. Well, that's a pretty good, we've always said Satan is brilliant. That's a pretty good scheme. And I think he also has a scheme to help you get a label, right? We live in a day today where everybody wants their very first, most important identity to be their gender, sexuality, or sexual orientation. Listen, I'm a heterosexual. I don't lead out with that. I lead out with, I am a follower of Christ. I've made the decision to follow Jesus. So what does Mary Magdalene teach us? What does she remind us of? Mary Magdalene reminds us that we have a Savior who rescues us from sin and shame. She was redeemed. She was delivered from seven demons. She followed the Lord. She loved the Lord. She was there at his death. She experienced, spent time with, embraced the resurrected Jesus. And this is the plot line of your story and mine. Mary Magdalene also reminds us that our past will not keep God from using us in the future. So don't shame, regret, embarrassment over your story. Put that away. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Share your story boldly. You don't need to make stuff up. You don't need to add gratuitous details to try to make a better story. Jesus made it the best story. Mary Magdalene also reminds us that our story matters no matter how insignificant we may feel about it. John Bloom, I'm going to give you one more quote from him, his article. Mary Magdalene is a beautiful picture of the overwhelming grace of God being extended to unworthy people like us in Jesus. Going back to his other quote, which I think is powerful, your story may be very limited, yet very significant in telling others the good news of Jesus. So church, share bold stories of what Christ did for you. I wish we could have included this in last week's message, but obviously we only have so much time. But last week I asked you to pray bold prayers because of an empty tomb. And yesterday morning around 9:30, two people precious to me, and I know they're probably watching. They live in Florida now, but they met at College of the Ozarks, and I performed their wedding years ago, Josh and Leanne. And they asked me this week if I would do a baby dedication over Zoom as their six-month-old baby girl, Aurora, is in the NICU in Houston. And I said, absolutely. So I get on the phone at 9:30, and I had prepared my thoughts and what I was going to say for the dedication, like much like we do here. But then the prayer, and I'm asking the Lord for wisdom on even what to pray and how to pray for this baby and for Josh and Leanne. And the Lord used Leanne. And their story and her faith, and I had written out, so what do we want to pray for? I have some things. And she goes, first of all, infection, Ted. Pray that the Lord keeps her free from infection. So I wrote that down, no infections. And then Aurora has been placed on the transplant list for a heart transplant at 6 months old. And they told me that, and I had written down that she would be moved to the top of the transplant list. And I said, so I'll pray for no infection. And I said, and I'll also pray that she's moved to the top and a heart is provided on that transplant list. And Leanne, talk about praying bold prayers, it set me straight. She goes, oh, no, we're not. No, we want to pray that she's taken off the transplant list. And look at some of you are going, absolutely, those are our charismatics in the room. Right? They're like, we pray bold prayers our whole life. You Baptists need to get your act together. Because it was a moment where I went, why wouldn't that have even been my first thought? If we declared it last week that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power available for us today, why aren't we praying bolder prayers? And I said, so we will. And I'm telling you, I thought I held it together, but I didn't. And we prayed a bold prayer, Lord, remove Aurora from that. And we're going to pray it in a moment here for him. And I said, Lord, I can't wait for a toddler named Aurora to step on stage at Woodland Hills and meet this church family. Why wouldn't, if the tomb is empty and we know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that saves, the same power available for us today, of course we should be praying bold prayers. But let me ask you, church, why aren't we sharing bold stories? Share your love for Jesus and be clear about it. And don't just share your story, ask someone to share theirs with you. This is how we spur one another on in the church. And then I want to encourage you, as someone's sharing their story, try your hardest not to interrupt them and hijack the story and make it about you. If their birthday's in March, they don't need to know when yours is. Just let them share their story, because you and I both have a Savior to proclaim. And we will declare the resurrected Jesus. I sang a hymn growing up in church, and I don't know why I write these down, because I know they're still in my head and in my heart. But this was the chorus. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory. To tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Would you pray with me? Father, for baby Aurora, we ask, and we thousands are going to gather today on this campus, to boldly ask you to take her off the transplant list and to heal her heart. That this last surgery and stent and all that they did to begin to bring a heart to strength to pump that blood and that oxygen to her organs and to her body, we know. We are proclaiming that power that raised Jesus from the dead, so we don't use terms like impossible situation. Heal her, please. For the skeptic in the room, they've seen the evidence. They've heard it last week. They heard it today. But the stone rolled away, empty tomb, body gone, angels, Jesus. Yet they still are questioning. I pray today that they will stick around until you call them by name. And we ask that the Holy Spirit today call them by name. For the followers of Jesus across this campus and online, I just pray they begin not only praying bold prayers, but sharing their story boldly about the salvation they have in you. Yes, we can talk about our past, but it's not the most important part of our story. You are the most important part of our story. And we say thank you. And we pray all this in the authority of the name of Jesus. And everyone agreed and said, amen.